Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, stated that the Prophet والسلام, delayed Isha prayer until Umar ibn Khattab complained to the Prophet. And this shows us that it is okay to advise someone who is older than you, someone who is greater and bigger than you, because this would not be impolite. And we always make the mistake of thinking that if a sheikh or an imam does something wrong, it is impolite to go and correct him or advise him. No, this is wrong. You have to correct him and advise him. But what you should avoid is to do it in an insultive way or in a rude way or to make it to the public so that you would discredit him. This is something that would not be advisable. So Umar says, the Prophet of Allah, women and children, they are there and they are having a problem because they fell asleep. And this is not the appropriate place for them to fall asleep. And the Prophet came out with his head showered recently. And the Prophet said, by Allah, had I not feared that I would burden my ummah, I would have made this time mandatory for them to pray Isha in. Why is that? The more you come to the middle of the night, to the last third of the night, this is the preferred time for Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why the best time of the day for us is the last third of the night, 2 or 3 hours before Fajr, before the break of dawn. This is the time of the righteous. The time of the ignorant, it's this time because they sleep. The righteous always wake before Fajr time. They make their tahajjud, they make their witr, they recite their portion of the Quran, they ask Allah for forgiveness, because this is the time when Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lower heaven and He Azza wa Jal calls His servants. Is there anyone who asks me so that I can answer him? Is there anyone who seeks my forgiveness so I would forgive him? Is there anyone seeking my repentance so that I would repent over him? Every night this happens. And rarely we wake up for this great opportunity of answering Allah Azza wa Jal. So we should try our best to devote some of the night for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. We open the floor for questions. We take one question from my right and one question from my left. So those who on the left would get the microphone ready. Yes, Arshi.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalamu
Shaykh, when somebody insults Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what should the Muslims do? Number one. And number two, when you say in the Battle of Trench, Rasul Sallam was fearful, or he had fear, maybe. So is there a dalil for that? In the Battle of Trench,
yes.
Because Rasul Sallam missed Asr Salah, he was fearful or he had fear. Is there a dalil for that as far as Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is concerned? Not the Sahabas.
As for the first question, whenever someone insults the Prophet ﷺ, we have to look on the circumstances. If we are in an Islamic state that practices Islam and implements Islam, this person should be taken to the authorities and he should be tried and then executed. There is no playing with the Prophet ﷺ. Unfortunately, this is not applied or applicable except in one or two countries in the world. Islamic countries. And therefore, nowadays, if someone insults the Prophet ﷺ or attacks the Prophet ﷺ, due to the fact that we're not living in Muslim countries, or we're living in Muslim countries that is not practicing Islam, we have nothing that we can do except to shun that person and leave him and not communicate with him, discommunicate completely with that person. As for the second question, what is the evidence that the Prophet ﷺ was afraid? I did not say he was afraid in the sense that he feared the enemy, so he was fleeing them. Fear is a natural thing. And the Prophet ﷺ was human. So he might have been intimidated. He might have been trying to avoid what was happening of clashes, of someone attacking. And this is only human. There is nothing degrading or unworthy of the Prophet ﷺ. His anticipation and his being there on the watch until Asr time was over and Maghrib sunset was there is a clear indication that this is what had happened. Yet it is not in the sense that, oh, the Prophet was afraid that he's a coward. Nobody thinks this way. And at the same time, we would not say that the Prophet ﷺ was a superhuman and that he was not a natural person. This is also not the case. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Yes, brother. Alaykum salam.
Do we have to offer sunnah with the first salah, which is offered after the prescribed time with the legitimate reasons?
Excellent question. The Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, when he told us to pray immediately as we remember it, he did not indicate what to do regarding the sunnah prayer. And the scholars say, as long as the reason is legitimate, as if you are praying it on time. So if I oversleep on Fajr prayer and I wake up at 10 a.m., what is the first thing I do? I pray Sunnah al-Fajr and then pray the Fard 2 rak'ahs. Why? Because my prayer is legitimate and it was missed for a legitimate reason. So I hope this answers your question. Yes, brother.
Sheikh, Alhamdulillah, the uniqueness of the timing which you mentioned, which has been mentioned, and we are blessed that anywhere, any part of the world, there could be Fajr, somewhere it could be Asr, Isha, Alhamdulillah. So no time goes without the Muslims offering the Salah, Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, my question is that what happens in places like Scandinavian countries like Norway and other places where the sun sets and after a little time it rises up again? So what is the ruling on that?
Regarding the countries that have sunrise and sunset, the ruling applies. Even if the night was short, even if it was 2 hours, you have to pray in accordance to the timings given to you before while observing the sun. The question would not be here. The question should have been, what do the people in the North Pole, for example, or in the far Scandinavian countries where night is prevailing, they don't see the sun for few months or few weeks, or they see the sun continuously throughout the day. In this case, we cannot determine our prayers by observing the sun, true, because there is no break of dawn and there is no sunset. What to do? Scholars say that, alhamdulillah, Islam did not leave any stone unturned. In the sense that, in the hadith of Sahih al-Imam Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ was telling the companions about a Dajjal, the Antichrist, how many days he will spend on earth? 40 days. One day is equivalent to a year. One day is equivalent to a month. A third is equivalent to a week. And the rest of the days are like your normal days. The first thing the companions asked was, O Prophet of Allah, the day that is equivalent to a year, should we pray the prayer of one day, meaning throughout this day, only 5 prayers? And the Prophet said, no, meaning that this year is actually 360 days, but the sun takes 360 days to set. So the Prophet said, no, you have to pray and calculate for your prayers, meaning you have to estimate. So we know that usually between Fajr and Dhuhr, there is 6 or 7 hours. So, okay, now it's Dhuhr time. And after 2 hours and a half, it's Asr time. And after 3 hours, it's Maghrib time. And after 1 hour and 15 minutes, it's Isha time. This is what the Prophet said, اقدروا له قدره. Calculate for the portion of the day as much as you can. And that is why the major scholars and fiqh committees said that the people in Scandinavia and in the places where the sun does not set, they have to calculate, they estimate. How? They estimate by looking at the closest country to their south where you can determine prayer times. And they should follow them. So if you are in the furthest north, you go a little bit south, 200 kilometers, 300 kilometers, and there's a country that has sunrise and sunset, you follow their time of prayer. Likewise for fasting, by the way. How would these people fast? The sun is all week long, or maybe a month long. They say you have to do the same with fasting, estimating when the sunrise and when there is the sunset.
As we know that praying Fajr prayer, is many Muslims skip it due to oversleeping. So is it a legitimate cause?
Okay, if you deliberately skip, this is not a legitimate cause. This is not a legitimate reason. How do you skip it intentionally? By setting the alarm clock at 6:30 or 7 o'clock. You start work at 10, you set it at 9 o'clock. Deliberately, in this case, don't pray it, don't even bother, because you deliberately done that. But if you go to bed at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock and you set your alarm clock at 5:30, and you have four or five alarm clocks, and if they can buy a cannon, they would buy a cannon next to their ears, and they never wake up. And they feel remorse, they feel depressed, but this is their nature. Would Allah hold them accountable? The answer is no. So, skipping Fajr prayer for sleeping is a legitimate cause if you tried and failed. But if you definitely did not try or went to bed late and you refused to set the alarm clock, then you are sinful. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.